So Krishna, because his personality is so deep, because he's God, because his personality is so sophisticated and complex, and because he manifests different moods, different forms, when he's in different moods, so he has many forms, because he has many moods, different types of moods and different activities according to those moods. So Balaram takes the role in the pastimes. He takes the role of being the older brother. It's a role. It is not exactly that he is senior. They're both eternal. So neither is really in that sense senior to the other. Neither one was existing before the other. But Lord Balaram takes the role of the older brother in the pastimes and has many different activities in that type of role, which reflect the role of being the older brother. So Krishna and Balaram, they're together. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam or Mahabharata even, there are so many descriptions of Krishna's, particularly in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's childhood and going through the different stages of his time here with us. And you'll see that Balaram is there in the great majority of the situations which Krishna gets into. When they were small children, as you may know, Krishna was famous for stealing the butter. Not simply because he likes butter, not that he is a butter fanatic. He must eat butter with every meal. In Russia, I just came back from Russia the day before yesterday. In Russia, they are potato fanatics. Ah, yes. They must have potatoes, and they're very good with them. In South Africa, particularly Indian society, what do we have? We have beans. Yes. And the only place where, actually I haven't been there, but I've been told, where they eat more beans is Brazil, where they actually have to have beans with every meal. Two or three meals a day, 7 days a week. Anyway, so it is not just that Krishna has a particular taste for butter, like we may have taste for some particular type of foodstuff. But the reason that Krishna steals the butter is because the cows in Vrindavan, in Krishna's pastimes, they are not just animals, just dumb animals who cannot really do very much at all, just eat grass and give milk. But they are conscious. I mean, conscious like we are conscious, those cows, and they think, just like we have in the pastimes of Lord Ram, we have Hanuman and his various other monkey associates, and they're not just monkeys. Like, you know, you probably get monkeys around here sometimes, and they cannot speak. They, you know, it never occurred to them to wear clothes. But Hanuman is very different. He speaks. And he doesn't just speak kitchen Hindi. Chatsworth or North Dale, but he actually speaks Sanskrit. Oh, I don't think many of us here speak Sanskrit. So in other words, he's a very highly developed being. He's not just an animal. So the cows in Krishna Leela, they're developed personalities, and they love Krishna because Krishna is God and is the center of their lives, and he should be the center of everyone's life. Well, actually he is the center in that he's providing everything. He has provided this world. You know, you might say, well, I provide money for my family because I work. But where does the money come from? It comes from God. So he's providing everything for everyone. And the devotees appreciate that. And they don't just take him for granted like sometimes children take parents for granted. Children, the parents work hard, and in some cases they work very hard to put the children through a good school, put them through university, and the children just take it for granted. At least in many cases, maybe not all, they just think this is the way it is. And it doesn't really occur to them so much that my parents have made major sacrifices and spent a lot of energy and time just to facilitate me to create a better future for me. So the devotees then, the devotees of the Lord, those who are God conscious, Krishna conscious, they appreciate that Krishna has provided everything. They really appreciate that this, it really means something to them. That the Lord is expressing his affection and his care for us by doing many things, practical things, like providing us with everything. So, and in this way, the devotees develop love for the Lord. And they would like to please the Lord and serve the Lord and reciprocate. So the cows, they love Krishna and Balaram, but particularly Krishna they love. And the cows are always thinking, we want Krishna to get our milk. And the different things that are made from their milk, like the butter and other things. So this is what they're thinking. They're actually thinking that specifically, just as we sit here and we think of this and that, they actually think like this. And then they are milked in the society in Vrindavan, where Krishna was living 5,000 years ago when he was here. There, the ladies milk the cows. The ladies milk the cows. The men generally, they herd them, but they don't milk them. Can any of you ladies milk cows? Have any of you ladies milk cows? Or is it only from the clover? From the supermarket. That's where milk comes from. You didn't know it comes from cows. You tried. Were you successful?
It's tricky, but you get it.
It's tricky, but you get it, she says. So the ladies milk the cows. The cows are thinking, we want Krishna to get our milk. And the ladies are also thinking, we would like Krishna to get this milk and the different things that are produced from it, like the butter. But there is a problem. There is a problem for those ladies who would like just to give it all to Krishna. There is a problem. It is a well-known problem among the ladies, the women's community, That problem is called the husband. Their husbands have different ideas. They think we should sell, not exactly sell the milk, but trade the milk, and in this way acquire different other things we need. The ladies, they would like to just give it to Krishna. So anyway, they make the butter, and they milk the cows, but then they make the butter. I don't know if you have made butter by hand before, or only by the mercy of Pick and Pay, or Checkers or ShopRite. Did you make butter, seeing you know how to milk cows? Have you made it before?
You tried it.
It's quite an effort to make butter by hand. It's much easier to milk the cow. It's a fairly, relatively quick process. But to make the butter by hand, that takes some effort. To make the cheese, to separate the cream from the milk, to make yogurt, these other things, they're relatively easy, not hard. To make yogurt, just put some culture in, make it warm, leave it overnight, you've got yogurt. To make cream, anyway, there's a way, if you spin it, if you know how to do that, the cream comes off the top. It's not so hard. But to make butter, that takes some physical effort. You've got to churn. In this case, traditionally in India, they make butter not from cream, as in the Western world, including South Africa, but they make it from yogurt, traditionally. So the traditionally made butter in India is white. White. Whereas here, you get yellow butter, isn't it, basically, generally. But the process is the same. You've just got to churn, and then you get it. So while, they have to put some time and effort into churning the yogurt to get the butter out, it may take an hour or more of really working. So while they're doing this, their attention is focused on it. And their thoughts are focused on it. And they are thinking, we want Krishna to get this butter. And because they make a bigger effort, and there is more concentration on the butter, then more of their feelings go into the butter than into the other things which they make. Krishna likes the yogurt. Krishna's known as Makhan Chaur, the butter thief. He's also known as Dahi Chaur. Dahi meaning yogurt. Yes. But particularly he's attracted to the butter because more of the lady's love has gone into it than the other things which they've made. So Krishna, his specialty is the butter. Why? To taste their love. To taste their love. He is not short of butter or anything else. But he steals their butter because he wants to taste the love of all those different ladies who love him so much. But he steals it because they cannot give it. They'd love to just give it, but they cannot because their husbands would get upset. And they don't want to upset their husbands. So Krishna, being very thoughtful and considerate, so that those ladies avoid the situation of some domestic conflict and maybe shouting at each other and all that sort of thing, Krishna steals it. And when the husbands come home and say, okay, you know, where's the butter? You know, we left the milk with you this morning. Where are all the different things you've made? Where's the butter? And the wives say, you won't believe it. Krishna stole it again. And they're happy. They wanted Krishna to have it. But, you know, he had to steal it, and they act like, oh, he stole it, oh my gosh. But they're happy. So anyway, Balaram is always there. Krishna never steals the butter on his own. In fact, for that matter, one thing, as you all get into Krishna consciousness more and more step by step, you will learn that Krishna is never alone. And if you ever see a picture of Krishna alone, generally it's not really acceptable. Oh, look at this. There's Krishna and Balaram. Govardhan Shila is being carried by Krishna Chaitanya Das, who we hope is not going to drop them. Because, you know, sure, we've got to be careful. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ki. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ki. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ki. Hare Krishna. Hare Rama. So here you see there are two Govardhan Shilas. They're actually rocks from Govardhan Hill. But Govardhan Hill is a form of Krishna. And the dark coloured rocks on Govardhan Hill, they're considered forms of Krishna. But you get some, not so many, but some light coloured rocks. They're considered forms either of Radharani, if they're golden coloured or something like that, or Balaram if they're more whitish. And here you see, on your right is Krishna, dark Shila rock from Govardhan Hill. On your left is Balaram, whitish coloured Shila. Shila means rock or stone from Govardhan Hill. Oh, I'm glad we've got Krishna and Balaram. That's nice. So yes, Krishna is notorious as Makanchor, but Balaram is no better. He also gets involved in stealing the butter for the same reasons. Balaram is the older brother, and actually Krishna and Balaram, they are the same person in two forms. We cannot do that at all. Even if you have people who are twins, even identical twins, if you get to know them well enough, then you'll see they have some distinct differences from each other. Yeah. So, but Krishna and Balaram, they're actually one person in two forms. And having said that, as we mentioned earlier, Krishna, because he has so many moods, because he's such a complex personality, he has many forms, not just two, but many, many forms. So Krishna and Balaram interacting together as brothers, older brother, younger brother, they're one person interacting with himself, but himself in a somewhat different mood. It's a very deep subject, and we don't want to sort of overload you with too much deepness, but it's a very wonderful subject. We do advise you to try and look into it and get to understand these things a bit, because it's extremely interesting And it is actually the traditional spiritual culture of India. So anyway, Balaram is the Lord, the same Lord, but in a different mood. The mood of being the brother, the older brother. So it's a protective type of mood. There's an element of fatherliness in it, in the mood of a good older brother, caring for the younger brother. But Balaram also, we mentioned this morning in Durban Temple, Chatsworth, one of our great acharyas, Jiva Goswami, makes a very interesting point. That if you ask Krishna, who is God? Krishna says, me. You know, he's not like one of these crazy people you get around who claims to be God. You know, there's so many, and, you know, I'm God. Oh, what a joke. It's a sad joke, actually. Sad and bad, but very sad. So, but if you ask Krishna, who is God? Krishna says, me. Straight answer to a straight question. If you ask Balaram, who is also Krishna, but in a different form and a somewhat different mood, if you ask Balaram, who is God? You know what Balaram says? He says, Krishna. He doesn't say, me. He can say, me, because he is God. Yes. But he doesn't, because his mood is different. He says, Krishna. And if you ask Balaram then, well, who are you then? Balaram will tell you, I am Krishna's servant. That's what I am. And this is a very amazing phenomenon amongst all of the other expansions of Krishna. They are all in the mood of being servants of Krishna. Servants of Lord Krishna, who is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the fountainhead, from whom all other forms of himself have come, and for that matter, from whom everybody and everything has come, including Peter Maritzburg. So Balaram has the special mood of being the servant of Krishna. And first of all, let me read a couple of verses. You know, Balaram is the older brother, and his relationship with Krishna is very intimate, very deep, and extremely affectionate as brothers. And sometimes Krishna expresses this. I want to read a couple of verses. A couple of verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. Tenth Canto, Chapter 15, which is about the killing of Dainikasura, one demon who was killed by the Lord in his Vrindavan Leela 5,000 years ago. First of all, well, I'll read a couple of verses, two or three. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, first of all, verse 4. Satatra tatra runa palavashriya pala prasunoru varena padayo spishachikan viksha vanaspatin muda smayan ivahagra jam adi purusha. The primeval Lord, Sri Krishna, saw that the stately trees with their beautiful reddish buds and their heavy burden of fruits and flowers were bending down to touch his brother's feet with the tips of their branches. Thus, Lord Krishna smiled gently and addressed his elder brother, Balaram. This is now the next verse. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Aho Amideva Varamarachitam. Padambujam Te Sumana Palaharanam. Namantyupadaya Shikabir Atmanas. Tamo Pahatyai Tau Janna Yatkritam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, said, O Balaram, O greatest of lords, just see how these trees are bowing their heads at your lotus feet, which are worshipable by the immortal demigods. The trees are offering you their fruits and flowers to eradicate the dark ignorance that has caused their birth as trees. Etelinas tariyasho kila lokatirtham gayanta adipurushanu patam bhajante payo amimuni gana babadiya mokya gudambane pina jahat yanagat madai. O Balaram, O original personality, these bees must all be great sages and most elevated devotees of yours, for they are worshipping you by following you along the path and chanting your glories, which are themselves a holy place for the entire world. Though you have disguised yourself within this forest, O sinless one, they refuse to abandon you, their worshipable Lord. And actually, in the commentaries of our great spiritual teachers, great acharyas, they make the point, and in commentaries on that verse, they make the point that actually those bees, which were buzzing around, apparently buzzing around, those bees, in their previous lifetimes, had actually been great sages. But now they took birth in Vrindavan with Krishna and Balaram. And when they buzzed, they were not just buzzing, but they were speaking, chanting Vedic hymns to glorify Balaram. So in the mood of a devotee, Lord Balaram does many things. Listen to this. This is from Jiva Goswami. So he says that as a servant, Lord Balaram appears as Krishna's friend, his brother, then, listen, his bed, his fan, his house, his umbrella, his clothes, his ornaments, and his chairs. Now, this might be a little, well, as I said, I hope we don't go sort of out of people's depth too much. But the thing is that Balaram, as a devotee, he assumes these forms to serve Krishna. So whenever you see a picture of Krishna, generally he will have a golden dhoti on. Please know, this is Balaram. This is a form of Balaram. He is serving Krishna. He can expand himself in so many forms. And he has expanded himself as Krishna's clothes. O Lord Balaram, you become Krishna's residence, bed, throne, sandals, clothes, pillow, umbrella, and many other objects. At the time of universal devastation, Lord Balaram becomes a banyan leaf to carry baby Krishna. Have you ever seen, you know, I think any good Hindu has seen, and many have in their houses, pictures of Krishna as a baby lying on a banyan leaf, a large leaf, which is floating on some water. You must have seen such a picture. And Krishna's sucking his toe sometimes, one of his big toes. And one devotee asked Krishna, "Why are you sucking your toe?" And Krishna said, "I am sucking my toe because so many devotees say that my lotus feet are very sweet. And I wanted to find out, so I am sucking my toe." And Krishna told that devotee who was inquiring, said, "Yes, I am sucking my toe, and I can tell you that it is very sweet." So Krishna then floated away on that banyan leaf, continuing to suck his toe. Yes. So that banyan leaf is a form of Lord Balaram. He is serving Krishna in that way. You know, it might sound a little fantastic, but Lord Balaram expands as the spiritual world. The whole kingdom of God is simply sitting based on and manifestations of the energy of Balaram for the pleasure of Krishna, so Krishna can have his pastimes in beautiful, wonderful places. Balaram, by his energy, manifests the spiritual world. And for that matter, the material world, the energy, comes from Balaram. Balaram comes from Krishna. So you could say it comes from Krishna, but in a more direct sense, Balaram actually puts it into effect. Yes. So Jiva Goswami says, there is practically nothing which Balaram is not. Because he's simply not obsessed, is not a fair word to use, but he has no interest other than serving Krishna and pleasing Krishna, even though he is Krishna. This is all part of the science of God. You know, it's a lot bigger than what many people think. It's a lot bigger. So, yes. So this is Balaram. He supports the spiritual world. He supports the material world. He appears in different moods, in different forms, in Krishna's pastimes. For example, Radharani. You may have heard of Radharani, the beloved consort, eternal consort of Lord Krishna, Radha Krishna. Radharani, her younger sister is named Ananga Manjari. Ananga Manjari is Balaram appearing in a female form. Yes, it's all a little amazing. But his desire to serve Krishna and please Krishna in any way possible leads Balaram to manifest the form of Radharani's sister. Ananga Manjari is Balaram. And when Krishna appears in different forms like Lord Ram, Ramachandra, Balaram becomes Lakshman. Balaram is Lakshman. Yes. When Krishna appears as Lord Chaitanya, the most recent incarnation of Lord Krishna, then Lord Balaram appears as Lord Nityananda. Just as Radharani becomes Sita with Lord Ram, just as Radharani becomes Lakshmi with Lord Narayan, and manifests in so many other forms with the different expansions of Krishna, Balaram also expands. And practically every time Krishna expands in some form or another, Balaram expands to be with him, to serve him. It's interesting, isn't it? It's quite something. Now, when Krishna was here 5,000 years ago and Balaram was here with him, then they had some amazing pastimes together. You must get your Srimad Bhagavatam set if you haven't got already and read about it. It is really most wonderful and most amazing. The first pastime described in Srimad Bhagavatam in which Lord Balaram appears or figures as the most prominent person. Normally Krishna's most prominent, but there are a few pastimes in which Balaram is most prominent. The first is the killing of Dainukasura. Who amongst you know how Krishna killed Dainukasura? It is a trick question. Why didn't you say Balaram killed Dainukasura? So let us just tell you this pastime. Yes, okay. So on this pastime, Krishna and Balaram have just turned 6 roughly, more or less. They just started herding the cows. Initially they were herding the calves. From the age of 3, Krishna and Balaram were herding the calves, but at the age of 6 they started herding the cows, full-grown cows. And one day, they went down. I mean, this will make a spectacular drama. It is spectacular. They went down past Govardhan Hill, south of Govardhan Hill, to this day, in the Vrindavan area, is a forest called Talaban, or Talaban. Not Taliban, but Talaban. Yes, Talaban is how they pronounce it now. Not Taliban. Taliban is Sanskrit. Talaban is more sort of Hindi, whatever, Prakrit form of the language. So Talaban means a forest of tall trees. Tal is a type of palm which produces some sort of fruit or other. So anyway, just like, well, Talaban, and here we are, or not quite, but almost, in Buraban. Right? Anyway, you know, not too far away. Buraban, Talaban, Vrindaban, yes? Bandiraban, Belban, this is how they pronounce it nowadays, and this is Durban. And looking around, I think some of you are from some form of Hindi background, you would know what Dur means. Yes, it's very distant, long way. Bahut Dur, hey. Bahut Dur, hey. That's Durba, the most distant forest of the Vrindavan area of Rajamandala. So anyway, Taliban, forest of tall trees. And it was summer. It was the Indian summer, so, you know, maybe approximately this time or a few months earlier. And the fruit on the trees was all ripe. The fruit on the trees was all ripe. And the cowherd boys smelt it as they're walking past. And they told Krishna and Balaram, "Oh, smell that fruit. Can you help us get some? We'd love to eat it." And Krishna and Balaram immediately said, "Oh, you want some fruit? Sure, we'll help you. Let's go in and get it." However, there's a very important point here. It is not just that the cowherd boys just smelt the fruit and thought, "Wow, it smells really tasty. We want to eat it. Let us just have a feast of fruit." Because they are pure devotees. And a pure devotee has no feeling that I just want to enjoy something for myself. Just like we mentioned Balaram, he is in the mood of a pure devotee of God, although he is God. He simply wants to please the Lord. So the cowherd boys, they were not really thinking that we just want to eat the fruit and enjoy life. But they thought, "This fruit smells wonderful, first class. We'd like to offer it to Krishna and Balaram." But if they told Krishna and Balaram, "We want to offer you this fruit, so help us get it from the forest," then Krishna and Balaram, see, they're smart, the cowherd boys. They're really smart. They thought that if we say to Krishna and Balaram, "We want to give it to you," Krishna and Balaram would say, "Don't worry, we don't need it. We have our lunch boxes. And in our lunch boxes, transcendental lunch boxes, there's so many goodies." Because they're transcendental. You know, it may be a lunchbox sort of this size and, you know, that deep. But in it, because they're transcendental, you get all sorts, every type of vegetable preparation you ever thought of, heard of, and many you never heard of. Oh yeah, every type of bean preparation you ever dreamed of, and many others. Oh yes, and many sweets and different types of dal, different types of rice. Shoo, it's amazing. Like, you know, here we get the good rice is what? The basmati. That's the good rice. Aunt Caroline's, anyway, say no more. But the good rice, the best rice, is basmati. But have you ever heard of Govinda Bhog rice? Govinda Bhog. It is a short-grained, not a long-grained rice like basmati, short-grained rice from Bengal. And this is what they offer in the temples. They don't offer basmati so much because they regard Govinda Bhog as being a better rice. So, in Krishna's lunchbox, different types of rice, etc., etc., because it's transcendental. So many things are there. So they thought, the cowherd boys thought, if we say that, Krishna and Balaram will refuse. We won't get the opportunity to offer it to them. So let us say it is for us. And because Krishna and Balaram, they're devotees, they'll do anything for their devotees. Krishna and Balaram will immediately say, yes, let's go and get the fruit for you. And then they get the fruit, and the cowherd boys would offer it to Krishna and Balaram. These are some intricacies of Krishna consciousness. So in they went. Why was all the fruit just ripe on the trees? And why had it not been picked? Because Dainukasura was living there in the forest. He would not let anyone take the fruit. He would just kill them. Even birds that would land on the trees and try and eat the fruit, he'd kill them. This is a very demoniac mentality, envious mentality. Yeah, very envious. He didn't eat it himself, but he wouldn't let anybody else. So Lord Balaram grabbed hold of one big tall palm and shook it, and the fruits fell. And because Balaram is the source of all power, the whole planet shook. The whole planet. You know, if you could get from Peter Maritzburg Library the histories of Peter Maritzburg 5,000 years ago, you'd find some record that on that day, Peter Maritzburg shook like mad. It was Balaram shaking the whole planet by shaking the tree. And Dainukasura, who was in the form of a donkey, was sleeping nearby. And he got all shook up, as they say. He got all shook up and sort of thrown into the air and bounced around. And he thought, who is the rascal who's come into my forest? Yeah. And he got up. And this is a little slightly difficult part in the story. He got up. And he was in the form of a donkey. He made a very horrible sounding donkey sound, as donkeys do, but very aggressive. Do we have anyone here who could help us try a test run? Some of you boys, you are brave, aren't you? You're not sissies, are you? What does a mad donkey sound like? You know? Okay. Go ahead. Okay, thank you. That was more like a mad pig. But anyway, I think you know what a donkey sounds like. But he really sounded like a wild, crazy, angry donkey. Any others brave enough? Are you afraid of losing your social prestige? And he came racing over to attack, well, Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys. And he saw Lord Balaram was the one holding the tree and shaking it. So he attacked Lord Balaram. He ran up to him, spun around in front of him. He's in this gigantic donkey form. Not just your typical little countryside donkey from South Africa, but, you know, a super donkey. He spun around and kicked Balaram in the chest very powerfully. And normally that would kill a person. And he killed many people before. Kill them and send them flying. He turned around, and there was Lord Balaram just standing there like nothing happened. Just Mr. Cool. Yeah, life is okay. No problems. And Dainukasura could not understand, how did this happen? He should be dead. He should be, you know, a kilometer away, having thrown through the air. But Balaram grabbed him and threw him a yojana. A yojana is approximately 12 kilometers. And Dhenukasura landed on his head. But fortunately for him, he has a hard head. And he survived. And he came running back. He came running back. And he came running back. He saw this Balaram, who was in a white, basically white colored body. When I say white, I don't mean like me. I'm not exactly white, you know, technically speaking. When I say white, I mean actually white. The color white, like Vaishnava Pran Prabhu's clothes or some of the other devotees, actually white. Like the sheet on this table here. White. So he came back thinking, wow, this white boy, he's pretty tough. All the cowherd boys were there, and Dhenukasura thought, let me attack them. Yeah. So he came running at the cowherd boys. little did he know, but he found out that the cowherd boys, they should not be underestimated. They're extremely powerful. So first of all, he attacked Sridham, who is the brother of Radharani. Sridham turned around and casually hit him with a stick and knocked him onto the ground. And Dhenukasura couldn't believe it. Yeah, who are these people? How can they do these things to me? So now Dhenukasura is on the ground. Subal, another cowherd boy, jumped in and punched him a few times. As they say in Chatsworth, particularly Unit 2, gave him a couple of what happened. Which just, Dhenukasura was not doing well after that. And then another cowherd boy called Stoka Krishna grabbed his rope. The cowherd boys have ropes for herding the cows and tying them up and so on. He grabbed his rope and he started whipping Dhenukasura. Then two other cowherd boys, Arjuna and Ansu, not the Arjuna from the Bhagavad Gita, there are other Arjunas. This is a different Arjuna, cowherd boy Arjuna. They picked him up over their heads and threw him on the ground. Bang! Then two other cowherd boys, Vishal and Rishabha, ran up to him and started kicking him. Tejasvi means very powerful person, someone who has great power. Tejasvi, cowherd boy, jumped on top of him and started strangling him. Another cowherd boy, Devaprastha, came and smacked him. Now that's a real what happened, isn't it? Gave him a good couple of slaps. And there was one little boy, small boy, called Varutapa. And he wanted to get in on the action, but he was not experienced in these things. He didn't know what to do. But he had a ball. So he ran up to Dhenukasura and threw the ball at him. They're punishing this terrible demon. He's a ghastly, shocking person. Dhenukasura attacked Krishna. Krishna threw him onto Govardhan Hill, some kilometers away. He picked up Krishna. Dhenukasura picked Krishna up, took him into the sky, 1.2 million kilometers. And Krishna started strangling him and threw him to the ground from 1.2 million kilometers. And Devakasura landed on his head, which knocked him unconscious, but did not kill him. Then Devakasura did a very amazing thing. He picked up Govardhan Hill, Devakasura, and threw it at Krishna. And Krishna caught Govardhan Hill and threw it at Devakasura. And Devakasura threw it back at Krishna. And then Krishna put Govardhan Hill back down on the ground. So now Devakasura is thinking what to do. All these boys are really tough. Let me try the white skinned boy again, Balaram. So he went running straight at Balaram just to trample him, just to run over the top of him and trample him. And Balaram, with one hand, grabbed both his front hooves, spun him around, and just by the centrifugal force, Devakasura died. Good night, Devakasura. And Balaram threw the dead body up onto the top of a tree, and the body landed on top of the tree with such an impact it knocked the tree over. And Devakasura's body bounced to the top of the next tree, which also fell over. And then he bounced to the top of the next tree. There was a whole domino effect of these trees going down. So, in this way, Lord Balaram killed Devakasura. It is a long story. We've abbreviated it. And I know to some of you it may sound a little fantastic. Is it mythological? Is it a fairy tale? The answer to that is no, it's not. Because you'll find intertwined in Srimad Bhagavatam, intertwined with these, by our standards, fantastic descriptions of people doing things that none of us could possibly do. But intertwined with it all, you'll find the most profound and subtle philosophy of life. And very accurate descriptions of even how this material world works. That's not mythology. It's objectively verifiable philosophy and explanations of this world, and what is this world, and how the world functions, and how people function, how people's psychology functions, how people's emotions function. Intertwined with all these, by our standards, incredible stories. So the thing is that in modern day so-called quote-unquote scientific society, people have only experienced certain things. And things like this, of a giant donkey and being thrown a kilometer by hand by a child, people have not experienced these things, have they? Definitely not. And therefore people think that it can't be true. In other words, what you're saying is, if I haven't seen it, it can't be true. In order to be accepted as true, I have, what, something has to be verified by me. Prabhupada turned it around. Another way of looking at it is that if in the forest a tree falls down, but I am not there to hear it, it makes no sound. How's that? In other words, I rule. Yeah. But actually, what humanity has experienced nowadays, current day, is just a very small spectrum of what is there in reality on higher levels. So even though it sounds unbelievable in certain ways, but when we consider this is Krishna, this is Balaram, they're forms of the Supreme Lord, this is the cowherd boys, they are residents of the kingdom of God, they are in spiritual bodies, then we can appreciate that this is nothing. Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. It is 23 kilometers around if you walk. Krishna lifted it on the little finger of his left hand when he was 7. And then you say, impossible. But Krishna is keeping these planets floating by his energy. It is not that the cars are driving down the road in an organized way because intelligent people are in them. But the planets are floating in the sky and not just floating off somewhere else or colliding with each other just because. Just because. There's no actual good reason. Just because there's some force. No. It is the power of the Supreme Lord. And it's just a small part of the power of the Lord. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita tells Arjuna that with a single fragment of my energy, I support and maintain the entire material creation. So for Krishna it's nothing. And these pastimes where Krishna kills demons, lifts Govardhan Hill, and does superhuman things, he does them because he is superhuman. He is God. He can do these things with ease. And when the devotees hear, they become very happy. How wonderful Krishna is. How wonderful Balaram is. And therefore, we celebrate, which is what we're doing today. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Now they have given us a whole lot of questions. I don't know if we'll have time for them all. We'll have a look at a few and then we'll continue with the program. May I ask why the Lord is so ready to give up his mood of awe and reverence, and sometimes also gives up this mood to become a devotee? Well, the Lord enjoys exchanges of love. We mentioned that in regard to the butter. It's an exchange of love. It's not just someone who likes eating, just getting hold of his favorite thing. But it's an exchange of love. And love, it's very difficult to exchange love with a person who is like very important, very powerful, when you are just a little person. It's difficult. Like when you're in court, if you ever go to a court, you'll find in many countries they call the judge Your Honor, or the mayor, they may call him Your Worship. So the relationships in the court, the lawyer is addressing the judge, etc. It's a real business relationship. The lawyer has to watch what he says. But now, and in some countries, when you walk out of the courtroom, you have to walk out backwards, so you don't turn your back to the judge. I don't know about here. Fortunately, I haven't had much experience in South African courts. But in some countries, you have to walk out backwards because you can't turn your back on the judge. And you've got to bow. You've got to bow to him. Otherwise, you're in trouble. Contempt of court. But when the judge goes home and he meets his wife, do you think his wife bows and says, "Your Honor"? You know, sometimes I'm sure she tells him, "Hey, listen, you forgot to take the rubbish out this morning. Come on." She doesn't call him Your Worship, Sir. Because it's a loving relationship. And that relationship of love is more important to the judge than being in the court and being called Your Worship or whatever it is and having people bow to him. In fact, he is in the court so he can earn money for his family, for his loving situation. So ultimately, love is the main factor. And Krishna, God, ultimately, he is looking for love. He's looking for your love. He's looking for all of our love. And in order to create a situation which is conducive for loving relationships and not just, you know, just being extremely reverential and just extremely respectful, "Yes, sir, I will do what you say." To create an atmosphere which is conducive for love, Krishna appears as a cowherd boy. Just like one of the cowherd boys. And generally in Vrindavan, he conducts himself just as one of the boys. He plays with them and jokes with them. These are all exchanges of love. And his mother, Mother Yashoda, breastfeeds him when he's small. These are exchanges of love. And love is the main thing. So, for love, Krishna gives up the position, not exactly gives it up, he's still in charge elsewhere. But in Vrindavan, he takes the role of the cowherd boy, the village boy, for love. And that form of the Lord as Krishna, lovable Krishna, is the topmost form and original form. And why does he become a devotee? Balaram is in the mood of a devotee. Even Krishna became Lord Chaitanya, and there Krishna is also in the mood of being a devotee. Why? Because being a devotee is much more fun than being God. Yes. And much more enjoyable. When Krishna returned to the spiritual world 5,000 years ago, he was remembering how wonderful it was here. All the devotees were serving him in so many ways. He was enjoying being served. It was just fantastic. But then Krishna thought of something. A realization came. Even though I was enjoying being served so much, it seems to me that my devotees who were serving me were enjoying more by serving me than I was enjoying by being served by them. And Krishna, this is like, as they say, a wow moment. Wow. They were enjoying more than me. Wow. And Krishna started thinking about it and thinking about different of the devotees and how they were enjoying more and more and more. And one devotee was enjoying twice as much. And another devotee, five times as much. And Krishna was really, wow, five times more than me. And someone 10 times, and someone 100. as someone 1,000 and 10,000 and 1,000,000. And finally Srimati Radharani, Krishna, understood she was enjoying 10 trillion times more than him by serving him than he was enjoying by being served. And then Krishna decided, right, that's it. I'm becoming a devotee. And he appeared as Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Balaram has already understood that for a long time. That's why he's permanently in the mood of a devotee. How can we be in a position to transcend the three modes of material nature? Well, you have to take up activity which is beyond the modes of material nature. Yeah. Like, how are you going to get out of this room? You've got to go out the door. So, how to go beyond this world? You've got to do something which by nature is beyond this world. That is devotional service to the Lord. Beginning with chanting. Okay, you know, we've got so many questions. If anyone will leave the questions and they can be answered next time, perhaps. If anyone has written a question and you really feel you do want an answer today, just come and see me afterwards and I'll try to answer. Thank you all very much for listening very patiently. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Shri Radha Radhanath ki. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki. Shri Baladev ji ki. Gopinandan ki.